Hello, everyone, and thank you for listening to my presentation. Thank you for the introduction. I'm going to be talking about my project, Dark Green Color Index, as a method of real-time in-season corn nitrogen measurement fertilization. And I'm kind of fortunate being able to speak towards the end of this seminar because a lot of my colleagues have done a really, really good job of just explaining how important nitrogen is for modern crop production and some of the volatilities and pitfalls that can crop up when you're encountering these things. Many producers use yield goal estimates as a way of knowing how much nitrogen they should apply to their crops. But there are some issues with that. Specifically, nitrogen is subject to loss through several different methods. And as yield goal relies on historical yield estimates, it provides sort of a rule of thumb method of determining just how much nitrogen a producer should apply to a field. Now, it's a great method, and I'm not trying to knock it, but I will say that there is some flexibility issues when we get down to it. There's a whole lot of variation that can present itself through the growing season, especially with a volatile nutrient like nitrogen. And ultimately, if we rely on an inflexible system, we're going to end up with a net loss of nitrogen use efficiency. Nitrogen is a very important and sometimes a costly and expensive input for crops, so farmers need to know just how much to put on. Additionally, with yield goal, a study by Binder et al. In 2000 suggested that early and severe nitrogen deficiencies can prevent full recovery in terms of grain production. And the best time to apply nitrogen depends on the degree of nitrogen deficiency. So, like I said, a moving target with a volatile substance. The answer to this is that we need an accurate and precise and timely solution for determining just how much nitrogen needs to be applied at a given time to a given field. And I would suggest that this in-season ability to evaluate nitrogen requirements is the method that we're going to evaluate further. Now, evaluating nitrogen status is done many ways. Often, we use the chlorophyll concentration as a way of measuring that, and many of my predecessors have presented some just great technology for doing that. Often, we use a chlorophyll meter, spectral radiometer, and I think there's a lot of promising technology to be found there, but the method we've used is digital image analysis, and this is becoming more popular. You see it more in the literature, and we've developed a rather specific method of measuring corn leaf nitrogen status using digital image analysis. We'll take a digital image, and it consists of red, green, and blue pixels, and we then convert that to hue, saturation, and brightness values. This is a common technical conversion that's done, and it's just more amenable to the equation that was developed by Karcher and Richardson at the University of Arkansas in 2003. And what we're doing here is combining those three different values into one single metric, our dark green color index value, which we will in turn use to develop our index, which we use to measure nitrogen in the field. And here I'd just like to show you three different images of corn leaves taken from a field in the University of Arkansas testing centers. And you can see that we've got a pretty good relationship between the conventional SPAD measurements, our GGCI values, and the ultimate nitrogen concentration that lab studies determined. So the objectives of our study were to develop quantitative relationships among yield, corn leaf nitrogen concentration, SPAD, and DGCMI measurements at the V6 stage. This is an important early stage for diagnosing those early nitrogen deficiencies that we might see in corn. Also, we'd like to determine the amount of nitrogen we can apply to recover yield from these DGCI measurements that we've made at the V6 stage. We set up an experiment that lasted 2 years, and we had fields at five different locations in Arkansas: Marianna, Kaiser, Stuttgart, Roar, and Fayetteville. We applied three different rates of nitrogen at emergence, and in doing that, we hope to set up relative rates of nitrogen deficiencies or sufficiencies and the field. And then in V6, we went ahead and applied another seven different amounts of nitrogen, and we hope to be able to see what effects that would have on recovering yield compared to our sufficiencies or deficiencies early on. We replicated each experiment four times within the field, and crop management outside of that adhered to university guidelines. So here you can see one of our typical fields, and this is after the second nitrogen application, probably about maybe V8 to V10 stage. You can see some high nitrogen plots here in the foreground, and in the middle ground, some of those deficient crops that have received subsequent applications and may or may not recover some of their yield. We'd go out into that field and we would take leaf samples and then take them inside a controlled lighting environment. And here you can see me taking pictures of some of those leaves with internal color standards we use to account for any different variations in light or camera. We also took SPAD measurements, and then we would submit the leaves for total nitrogen analysis. Additionally, we took pictures in the field, and we figured this would be a much more useful method for producers when we ultimately get a product like this out there. And as you can see, there's a lot more variation there with light and coloring, but that actually wasn't a big problem, as I'll show you later on. Now here is some of the data that we got, and this particular data we're looking at is from both years, but this is one location in Arkansas. I think this was in Kaiser. And we have nitrogen applied at V6 in kilograms per hectare on our x-axis. And on our y-axis, we see the subsequent yield that we received. I'd also like to point out that we have three different quadratic curves, and each one applies to those early nitrogen sufficiencies or deficiencies that we developed in our corn crops. And what this allows us to do is see what sort of response different nutrient deficiencies would exhibit when we make these subsequent applications. Now, of course, you'll also remember that when we're making these second applications, we're at the same time making DGCI measurements. So we're able to make some statements about that. But as you can see, we've got different quadratic equations that apply to each curve. And if we can look at just one of them, which is one of our zero, which would be the highest, or the greatest deficiency in those earlier crops, you can see we have a very strong response as we apply more nitrogen. And we get some pretty high yields. I'd also like to point out, though, that by finding the maximum of this equation, we're able to determine this theoretical maximum yield that we can determine given this early season deficiency and the amount of nitrogen we can apply to try and correct that. And if we know that, we can also make statements about what's 95% of that maximum yield look like, or 90%. And you can see that if we get 5% less of our maximum yield, we're saving something like 75 kilograms per acre of nitrogen application. And for a volatile and sometimes expensive nutrient like nitrogen, that can be very important. Now, given that we know the response for early season nitrogen deficiencies, and knowing that we also kept in mind the DGCI values that we observed as we were making these applications, and we know the maximum yield and 95 and 90% of that maximum yield, we can start looking at calibration curves for all the locations across both years of our study. And down here you can see we have the DGCI values of the measurements that we made at the V6 stage, right before we applied that second nitrogen, the corrective application. In our y-axis, we have the nitrogen that needs to be applied to attain 95%, which is the blue, and 90% of the maximum yield. And you can see this is a very useful tool for producers because it allows you to make in-season decisions about what sorts of nitrogen rates you're going to apply to try and overcome early season nitrogen deficits. And I'd like to make a couple comments about the shape we're seeing here. If you harken back to Binder et al. Study that I mentioned from 2000, his suggestion was that early on in the growing season, any sort of deficit that may accrue can ultimately affect the potential yield you can get. That is to say that if you have a lack of nitrogen early on, you can never really get the amount of nitrogen that you might get if you have a very high amount. And that's really what we're seeing here. We have our lower DGCI values, which correspond to those nitrogen deficiencies, and the amount of nitrogen you want to apply to that will give you a maximum yield for that particular deficiency. However, we get a steeper response curve towards the middle, and towards the end, when we have these greener, higher DGCI corn nitrogen plots, what we're really seeing here is that they got a really good establishment early on from the amount of nitrogen that was applied. And though they respond to the nitrogen applications, they don't respond nearly as strongly as something in the middle might. And what this is really the meat and potatoes of our experiment. It would allow a producer to make these decisions and say, well, you know, I had a problem early on. I don't want to just throw as much nitrogen as I can on the field and hope that I'll maximize my yield. My smart decision is to know that I could perhaps apply 100 kilograms per hectare and get the maximum yield that I could expect out of something that's been somewhat damaged early on. We were able to do a similar thing for outdoors pictures in 2011. That previous slide was showing all of our data we had over 2 years from those indoor controlled lighting situations. And that was some great data, but of course, like I said, it's more useful if the farmer can be out in the field taking these pictures instead of taking small samples and heading inside. And as you can see, though this is preliminary data, we got fairly good relationships for our 95% and 90% calibration curves. And I'd like to suggest in summary that we met our objectives. We'd established a relationship between SPAD, DGCI, leaf nitrogen concentration, and yield for V6. And we developed a robust method for producers to lower costs and increase nitrogen use efficiency in doing so. So with that, I'd like to offer thanks to everyone in my lab, Dr. Andy King, Marilyn Davies, Dr. Siddhal Huang, Robbie Roy, Alejandro Bolton, Adriano Mastrodomenico, Ruben, Luke, and everyone out of the lab and all the farm crews that helped me throughout these last 2 years. And with that, I'd like to open the floor for any questions. Yes, sir.
To what degree do you think your values would be affected by if the farmer does these type of photographs on a bright sunny day as opposed to maybe like on a cloudy day?
Well, ideally, yes, a cloudy day would perhaps flatten out the amount of variation you might see. However, we did take many of our pictures on sunny days. We just decided we needed to see what that would look like. And ultimately, we didn't see a lot of a significant difference between photos that were taken on cloudy days and photos that were taken on sunny days. We have these yellow and green color discs that we put as internal standards in each photograph. And because we know the value of these discs under a standard light, we're able to account for the differences that occur in each photograph and thus correct for any differences that might show up in something like that. Yes, ma'am. When we were taking our photographs outside, there was a bit of trial and error trying to figure out the best way to sample this. And in fact, we've actually used this method to try and do the same thing for rice or early wheat or even turf grass. And because that's just an overhead, basically, mat you're taking a picture of, it's very easy. Corn's somewhat more three-dimensional, and there's a lot more problems to it. But ultimately, what we usually did was hold a board up at the end of a row and just sort of take a picture that encompassed as much, usually the upper, I would say, three quarters of the corn plant along the row with the board in the background. So we didn't pull the plant or chop it down or anything like that. It stayed as it was in field. We did some tests last year in which we looked at aerial photographs of an entire field and hoped to do this. And preliminarily, it was somewhat encouraging, but it's also somewhat expensive. So we haven't gone too much further in that. However, that sort of leads you to the question of field element size, and a lot of people will make statements in the literature saying that there's a lot of significant variation in nitrogen levels that occur within a meter square in a field. So any useful variation in variated nitrogen application rate map you develop would have to have a resolution of greater than a square meter. And I think that really the only limit to our method is the resolution of the camera you can get, and that's getting more and more available. So I would like to suggest that this is a great way of overcoming that, especially if you can take aerial photographs. Yes, sir.
Does time of day play a big difference in, you know, what kind of results you're getting from these images? I mean, do you have to have calibration in the morning?
Yeah, absolutely. Realistically, there's a relatively small window of time in which you need to take these. You know, it depends on the time of year. Usually you're taking these in the growing season, so you have a lot of light, but you certainly couldn't take them in early in the morning. As far as our sampling went, because of the board we used and just because some of the, you know, the time constraints of having to drive all the way to the other side of the state and take pictures of a field within one day, sometimes we did get pictures which exhibit a lot of shadowing. But we do have image analysis software, which is readily available, which allows you to really only measure the green relevant areas of the plant very simply and easily using a macro we developed.
Actually, to kind of follow up on that, can you kind of narrow down what is the window of time? What is the effect of
time? I would just say, kind of off the seat of my pants, you know, in summer, I would say you'd look at somewhere between 9 or 9:30 in the morning to 6 or 7 at night. Yes, sir. Well, absolutely. As far as the applicability is concerned, you're right. There is a lot of variation in the field. And I think that some of our data from 2011 that I showed demonstrates that it's perhaps not as much of a detriment to this method, or it's more robust than you might think. So some of that wind is really accounted for. It's true that you might need to have a board, but that can easily be translated into a small poster is printed out. And really, the advantage of this applicability is that it doesn't require any new equipment. I mean, more and more, probably everyone in this room has a smartphone on them that has a camera in it. And this is relatively simple diagnostic software that we've developed. It'd be very easy to have some sort of application that you could put on that smartphone in which, as soon as you took a picture, you would immediately start developing your dark green color index. And I think, in a way, the convenience and the relative inexpensiveness of something like that would trump other inconveniences that might arise as this method develops. Thank you very much.